Okay, so it has been 6 days since I last recorded, and right now you might hear some music in the background. That is for the sake of privacy. It is 12:24 a.m. on May 16th. I am recording by myself, for myself. Right now I'm going to discuss personal vulnerabilities and I guess you would say, How do you describe it? Sexual insecurity. I might have discussed this prior. I might have. Honestly, I don't remember every episode from start to finish because by the time I record, I'm probably pretty drunk, amongst other things, if possible. So right now, this is just me, Chevy Coon. I call myself Chevy, being Chevy. So I went through a bit of an eye-opening experience tonight. I'm going to describe that in the most fullest way possible, how my eye-opening experience was. So I'm listening to the Beatles because I get, okay. So first off, I got sentimental about my father. My father passed away when I was 24 years old, December 9th, 2013, my father passed away. And it was a very intimate experience for me. It was very jarring. Mind you, prior to this, let's start from the beginning. So as I grew up, my father and I were not particularly close. He was one that was there on the sidelines of my parenting and didn't really contribute much. But I always respected him as any young boy would his father, especially back in the 90s. And, on top of that, his aloofness really got me to feel amazed by him even more. So as I'm feeling amazed by him, every little opportunity that I had with him was amazing for me, such as brushing my teeth with him with baking soda when I was at the age of 8. We were so poor that my mother apparently couldn't afford to buy toothpaste, or my father at that. I can't blame it all on my mother. My father couldn't afford to buy it either. Yet they always had their Marlboros. That's one thing I will never buy a pack of Marlboro cigarettes. I will, but not Marlboro Reds, hundreds of shorts. I will not buy them because in my entire childhood, my parents wouldn't have money for nothing. But they always had Marlboro cigarettes, no matter what. And that's always bugged me to this day. Anyway, though, so we had no money for toothpaste, and me and my father are brushing our teeth with baking soda. And I enjoyed it because it was spending an experience with my father, which was so longed for at that time. I desired it for so long, and I hadn't really had it until that moment, honestly. And so I remember that. I remember weirdly enough taking showers with my dad. I've had no sexual abuse history from my parents. I guarantee you this much. I've recalled a lot of lost memories in the past year or so, and I've never had that happen to me. I gotta love my parents for that much. They were good. They were good parents. My mother was a great mom. My father was a great dad. As best as they could be. And so as I grew older, I became better friends with my father after my parents separated. I felt like after at age 10, my parents separated, my father was able to be more of himself. I could spend one-on-one time with him where he actually wanted to spend time with me. That going throughout fifth grade, after fifth grade, throughout middle school, that is. And through high school and beyond. So, Christ, where even was I on this? So I had this moment tonight where I was listening to music that reminded me of my father. And my father was a Beatlemaniac. He was obsessed. If there's any great thing to be obsessed about, I suppose that the Beatles is one good thing to be obsessed about. So that's good. It's not like being obsessed about something creepy or something, you know, it's the Beatles, from his childhood. And my father has lots of traumas himself. He had lots of traumas himself. Lots of things happened to him that I would not wish upon a worse enemy. So I'm dealing with these things with my father, listening to music, and that opened my brain even more. My brain is like a rabbit hole, connecting to thus other several rabbit holes. And it just keeps going and going. So from there, I'm hearing noise in the room. So from there, it went on and on into areas of self-esteem and self-worth. And then I thought about something. So the last episode, we touched on masculinity. So I'm going to start here again, restart here. Now that that's been said with my father, I'm going to start with when I was 15 years old. I've always been more interested in men than women. I'll be right open about that right now. However, when I was 15, I got a girlfriend named Darcy. And I remember specifically one of my friends back in the day, one of my metal music friends, saying that, "Brian, when you and Darcy are together, you seem more like best friends than a couple." And I realized that he's probably right. I said, "Yeah, tell me about it." And it's like, yeah, like I have trouble my entire life putting my arm around a woman. I like women to some extent. I do. But I've always felt more comfortable with a man. Now, mind you, I have two children. I was married for 4 years to a woman. I was with her for 7.5 years total. And after that, I was in a 3.5-year relationship with another woman, my most recent ex. And someone was good, someone was bad. But she really helped me steer me. She really helped steer me in the right direction. And I cannot thank her enough for that. So dealing with all that, I want to say that I first started with guys after Darcy. Darcy and I were together for 1.5 years, and we never once had sexual intercourse. The 2 times I tried, I was shot down because the poor girl had some trauma herself. I don't know what it was, and I'm not going to debate it. I'm not going to go into it. It's not my business anymore. It never was to begin with. So that's a thing of the past. And I met a guy. Where we met is another topic of discussion for a later time. But I met a guy, and we got close very fast. His name was Curtis. I was 16. He was 19. It was about 1 month before I turned 17 when we got together. So when I turned 17, and the legal age of consent was 17 at the time. And I lost my virginity to a male at age 17. And he was my boyfriend for almost a whole year. Well, that's actually quite far-fetched. He was my boyfriend for about 5 months, but it seemed like almost a whole year. So we went to a furry convention. I was a furry. That's where I was trying to get to before. I'm too shy to say it sometimes. On the way there, we picked up a friend of his from New Hampshire that he knew online, and we stayed beforehand at a friend's place in Connecticut. Should I be talking about this? How public is this? Very public. These are the 3 a.m. thoughts, man. These are the 3 a.m. thoughts that you think about in your head. So I went from getting with the first male, which I always desired my entire life, from going from that into a group sex very shortly after. And that was eye-opening for me, but not in the best way you might imagine it. Now, like I said in a prior episode, I believe I said this. I don't remember my prior episodes, but let's keep it that way. That's how we're the most real. This is legit how I am and how I feel. So I got into group sex that night, and I did not expect it. I did not know this was going to happen. I just turned 17 a couple months prior, and this is brand new to me. These people were in their 20s, 19 and 19. That being 4 other people, 19, 19, 23, 25, something like that. And I'm 17 years old. And I'm opening up to whoever's listening to this wholeheartedly more than I probably should. I should be embarrassed by this, honestly. And I'm really not. I'm 32 years old now. And I think I can look back on my past like this and accept for what it is, what it was. And I'm basically opening up my own therapy session to the entire world. Take it or leave it, bitches. So I did what I did, and it gave me a whole new light on things, really, like what people really want you for, what people really want you for, what they desire you for, and how you're perceived. At the time, my only real thing was drugs. Sorry, now I've done drugs since. At the time, it was pot. I smoked a lot of pot back then. And they got me stoned as hell. And I was more than happy to accommodate. And to this day, I still hold a more conservative view on sex. Okay, I'm getting rid of the anxiety now. I'm getting rid of the subconsciousness. It's saying all I feel is meaningful to me now is a monogamous relationship with care and love. I thought I had found it at the time. And that boyfriend, less than 2 months later, broke up with me saying that he was too new to being, to opening up who he was, and he could not be with just one person like that right now. And I had seen it coming. I had heard rumors about him cheating on me and stuff like that, and it hurt me, but I just kept it all in. And he did what he did. And I never chastised him for it. I told him I knew about it, and he didn't deny it. Well, he did actually, but I see right through it. He later admitted to it, but yeah, so that's the end of that, and that's the end of, at age 17, a very lonely life for a while. I went to college, and I had maybe two sex partners and one boyfriend the entire time. A second boyfriend, if you include right at the end, after Anthrocon 2000 and 2008. So I had a boyfriend a bit during my freshman year of college. We met each other 3 times total, long distance. I had one sex partner that year and dropped him right off the bat. He was not for me. I was not for him. After that, I had one boyfriend I got together with during that time, and I slept with one kid in college. One guy, I was not interested in women. I wasn't shy around women. I will get to that. And me and this guy, my age, both 19, we slept together my very last night in college. It was my second to last night and everybody else's last night. I was graduating the next day, 2009, May 16th. May 19th, 2009, I believe. So, I'm getting foggy-headed already. Emotional overload here. So I had an online boyfriend, and we met at Anthrocon, and we saw each other a few times, and he was neglectful. That year, 2009, I went to Anthrocon again in the month of July, and he didn't want to spend any time with me. We were supposed to be roommates. He paid for my whole trip. He paid for my registration. He paid for everything. He wanted a companion without being a companion. He wanted like a wife on the side, pretty much. And I wasn't going to settle for that. I stood up for myself. This is very hard for me to say all this. This is very hard for me. I wasn't going to settle for that. And so after he was at the bar for a long period of time, saying he would come up to the room with me and spend time with me. Yes, I wanted sex. I was a horny teenager. I was 19 and young adult, and I was ready to get laid with my boyfriend. I wanted it. I'm top. I was ready for it. And he wouldn't come up. He would not come up. And he kept staying at the bar for a bit longer. Finally, after 3 hours of this, I got dressed and I was so upset. I went down and smoked a cigarette outside of the Westin Hotel and Convention Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I went into the bar and I said, "Rob, when do you come back to the room? Because it's been long enough. I'm getting pissed." And one of the first things he said was, "Excuse me, bartender, this person here is a minor. Can you please get him out of here?" I looked at my boyfriend like he had just slapped me in the face. How can you call yourself my partner and then act towards me like that? Now, may I remind you that the New Year's prior, 08 and 09, he had paid for an entire bus ticket down, Greyhound bus, for me to go from Brunswick, Maine to New Jersey, to meet up with him, and then go from there to South Carolina for New Year's with him at his friend's place. And we went to the same hotel room every night together, and he told me every night he had a toothache. So I think he had some trauma from sex, maybe. He might have had some issues with it. Maybe he just had low testosterone and he wanted a partner but not sex, and it was hard for him to address that. I'll admit that. Maybe he had some issues himself. He definitely did. He had some demons, man. He wanted to love her, but he wanted to treat me. He wanted to be a sugar daddy without sex. And honestly, the sugar daddy thing was great, but I'd rather have the emotional connection. I'd rather have somebody where I can connect with and be with them on the same emotional level. That's very, very, very important to me. And so after the Anthrocon, when he stood me up in the hotel, that night I went to my room and I was prescribed to clonazepam. I took 12 of them. I was used to taking less than one per night, maybe two at the most, if I even took them every night. So I was royally fucked up. And somebody very special to me at the time came and talked to me, dragged me out of bed in my benzodiazepine-induced state, dragged me out of bed and had me confess the whole thing to them. And he slept in bed with me the night because he said Rob isn't coming back tonight. And I said, would you sleep in bed with me tonight? He was drunk enough. I begged him to sleep in bed with me tonight. He did. And we had some half-assed shitty lovemaking the next morning. My boyfriend deserved it. No, I didn't. When you do it to your partner, I don't think what you deserve anything at all good. I'm very caring about my partners. I care about their every need, everything about their well-being. And I just ask for the same in return. Like I said, it's a very hard one to talk about. I've never come clean about all this stuff before. So I graduated college, 2009. Broke up with Anik the same year. That was my first boyfriend. I broke up with Rob the same year. And I was lonely for a bit. I was staying in a storage loft in my mother's house, which was not even 5 feet how tall. It was about 4¾ feet tall. And I was very depressed. I lost all my friends in college. You know, like, I was alone. I graduated. I probably may never see them again. I had a few social outings here and there, but I worked a dead-end job after college with a degree. And I was very disappointed in myself. And I hated my life. I hated who I was and what I was becoming. So in 2009, should have been, somewhere in 2009, 2010, I started dating another man named Alonzo, and he was a great boyfriend, but let's just cut it short. After 8 months, he admitted that he had been manipulating me and that he had used me to feel young again. I was 19, he was 30. And he had a stalemate with his boyfriend for a long time, and he admitted to using me for a long time, and it crushed me. Anyway, so then I got with Ashley, and I was not used to being a woman. I did not expect a woman. I got with her thinking she was a guy at first, talking online, and thus started that, and then became a 7.5 years of relationship. So I mistreated her. I was very confused myself. Broke up, got back together. It's a long story, man, but every story, any good story has some longevity to it. So she finally left me in 2017. You say it was August 2017 when she admitted she didn't love me anymore. My family had struggled a lot at this point. I had 2 children. We had been through homelessness. I got us our trailer. I paid for that trailer for rent. And I felt like she contributed nothing. But yet I simped for her every day, which is sad. I mean, there were even points when I was so immersed in my books. I used to read habitually. And I was so immersed in my books that we would spend the entire night together for over 2 hours, not speaking a word to each other. Just being in the same room. She's on her phone or her Pokemon game, and I'm reading my book, indulging myself in my novel. And she left me. I was unemployed. I already lost my license. I don't know why. So I had already lost my license. I was not able to drive. And I was stuck there in the town of Dresden, Maine, which is in the middle of nowhere in the woods, with no car, no license, and no friends to drive me anywhere. This is where I was stuck with a woman that just told me she did no longer love me. She no longer loved me. And she had nowhere else to go. So there I'm raising my kids with her, hardly raising them at all. And I looked for somebody else. I found a woman who became my next relationship for 3.5 years. She was hard on me, but she was good to me in many ways. She was too hard on me sometimes, I think in a way that really hurt me physically and mentally. And I'm not going to get into that. But the point is that about, say, 2020, the year 2020, so 2 years ago, I got reintroduced to being with a guy again. And I cheated on my girlfriend. I admitted it to her and I got cock punched and I got left for a few days and she came back. Can't say I deserved either one, cock punch or getting back together with me. But she did. She toughed it out for a lot. You know what? I don't even remember where I started now. Maybe it's not important. I'm just trying to tell my life story so maybe somebody can take advice from this, is that when I got in that orgy of 5 people when I was 17 years old, it left an impact on me about how I don't feel like people should be abused sexually or be used sexually. People should not be treated like they don't matter emotionally. Our emotions are our strongest emotion. That's a redundant statement. Our emotions are one of the strongest parts of our brain if we let them in. My emotions are very powerful most of the time, and with borderline personality disorder, I experience emotions stronger than most everybody else does. So I take it in, I analyze it the best I can, and exert it the best that I can fathom. And sometimes it's overwhelming. Sometimes my emotions are too much for me to handle by myself. I need a supporting hand. And my current partner, Matthew, is 1 in a fucking million. I still feel like I don't deserve him half the time. I feel like he's better than I deserve. And all I can do is thank the Lords for him. I'm by myself when I record this, so this is just me. And all I can do is just praise the gods that I found somebody finally. Nicole and I separated after an open relationship. Nicole and I separated after an open relationship 3.5 years in, about 8 months of an open relationship, 6 months, because I wanted to sleep with men again. I think I've always been gay. I have certain parts of women that attract me, but most of me has always been gay. And it's hard to fight that. You know what? I don't regret my previous relationships for any reason. Ashley served a purpose. She gave me companionship through my recovery when I was addicted. She gave me recovery companionship that I needed. I couldn't have gotten through that alone. And then she bore my children. And she gave me the sense of not feeling lonely and love for the time that it was there. And when she broke up with me, when she told me she didn't love me anymore, I was crushed. I was devastated. I lost my shit. I had full mental breakdown, panic attack mode, many days on end. And I don't know how I got through it. I just don't know how I did it. But I did. We all carry on, right? And I didn't even love her at the time anymore myself, I don't think. I did love her, yes, I did. My feelings for her had diminished so much by that point already. And so I opened Nicole, and it was great. She was tough on me, but it was hard. And, you know, I needed a strong hand because at that point, I had become a full-fledged alcoholic. I was drinking a half gallon a day to my head. I can't imagine drinking that much this day. Right now, I can't even imagine that. I mean, I'm drunk enough right now, and I've drank in like a fifth of that much. But you know what? I was in a rough spot, man. And isolation can fuck with your head. Isolation. Say something about that. When you're stuck in one spot in the middle of nowhere with nobody to visit you, nobody for a ride anywhere, and to get somewhere, to get what you need, you have to hitchhike or walk 3 hours round trip to get there and back. So it makes you feel very alone. And then when your wife, I mean Ashley, the only way she can get to the grocery store with her mom, who hates me and will not drive anywhere with me in the car, it makes you feel very alone. And I'm stuck taking care of those kids. And I love them with all my heart. My kids saved my life. Maybe even literally. They might have literally saved my life. But you know what? The fact that they were in my life is the most meaningful thing I have to this day. The number one most meaningful thing in this entire world is my children. So Nicole was wonderful for most of it. There was a lot of hiccups over and over again, but once again, she stood by my side. I had the companionship. I had the love. She suffered from severe chronic depression, and I wished I could have helped her better. I was not there for her like I should have been, because I was going through an anxiety disorder myself. My anxiety disorder can get very severe. I feel severe anxiety sometimes for no reason. I don't even know why. Sometimes I wake up in the morning with such anxiety. I wake up and there it is. It's just fucking there, man. So what can you do about it? Well, there are coping mechanisms, but in the long term, my partner now, 7 months, just about 7 months, as you know, Matthew, if I feel anxiety before work, he will lay in bed with me and hold me. And that's what I need. Apparently, from what I've researched, I have some mommy issues. And this is me opening up to the public and the world. I don't give a fuck anymore. I need to be held. Like, maybe I lacked as a child. I don't know if I did or not. I don't remember. I don't remember large gaps in my memory throughout my life. Large gaps of memory loss. I know I'm all over the place, but I'm very thankful for what I have. I have a roof over my head. I've been homeless before. I have food in the cupboards, no matter how good it is or not. It's still there. There's still food there. I have tobacco and tubes to roll into cigarettes. I'm almost out, but I have a bit of alcohol left. And most importantly, I have somebody, a man like I've always wanted, who loves me no matter what. And that's where I'm going to leave this off right now. Just let you ruminate on that, on the man that I truly have that loves me. And I know he loves me to this day. I love him with all my heart, and I will never, ever fuck him over. I know what it's like to be sexually insecure. And this person, with more experience than I have, was able to come together with me as one. And we worked together and built our own life together. And I'm getting over, trying to get over the past traumas I have, whether they're severe or not. Many people have far worse traumas than me. Trust me, I am aware of this. I am minor on the ultimate scale. I am minor. I am like a 1 out of 10 compared to most people. But to me, they made an impact. They made a difference to me. And so thank you for listening to this and hearing me out. And I know it was tough to listen to. I know it was a drag for most of it. I rambled on here and there. It's a long story to tell, but a lot to keep in touch with, a lot to keep track of. But the fact that you listened at all is a lot to me. Now my plan is to go to bed, cuddle up my boyfriend, snuggle up, feel the love. Peace out.